Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. The NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
It ain't my birthday.
Happy birthday, Tom Brady. Happy birthday to you.
Was there anybody in Foxborough today, or anybody at Gillette Stadium specifically, not aware that today was Tom Brady's birthday?
If they were, they must have been suffering from heat stroke, because... Anywhere you looked out on the practice
field today.
Between
the enormous birthday cards in the crowd and the razzing that Brady got from his fellow teammates, in particular.
Made for a very entertaining day five, practice number 10, 9 and 10 of training camp thus far. Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, Paul Perillo, the other voice you hear, editor of said newspaper. And we're here after another set of two-a-days, Paul. The first half... A full pads practice, as usual. Steamy, breezeless, muggy, stagnant, I think, is the
stagnant
word we use.
Stagnant is Fred Kirsch's word. I'll go with stagnant.
Hot, sunny, blistering weather.
This has
weather.
To be the way that Bill Belichick drew it up.
Just like you said in the open, it's hot, it's training camp.
If he could have drawn it up, not only he's gotten really humid, muggy, uncomfortable conditions to work with, which is good from a coaching perspective to get the team ready and in condition, but there's been some rain, there's been some wind, there's been some odd kind of
all
weather
kinds
situations.
Of elements. Thunderstorms.
Yeah, and you know, obviously he probably wouldn't have wanted to have a couple of practices cut short the way he did, but he's gotten a variety of weather, and it's been uncomfortable. And I actually think the team has handled it really, really well.
I think
that they have been remarkably crisp, considering the fact that you mentioned 10 practices now, 8 of those have been in full pads, 1 walkthrough on Sunday afternoon, and then today, shorts with shells, but a good, crisp practice.
One of the better practices.
And a lot of times you see that. They worked a lot on the running game this morning in full pads, and a lot of times when you see a heavy run-oriented practice, you see a passing practice follow that right up, and then sometimes, because the passing game is a little bit more finesse, you can do that with shorts and helmets, and they did that. And I thought they had 2 good workouts today.
I agree. Before we get into some details of what happened, let's go over some housekeeping chores and get the roster and attendance out of the way. In the morning practice, here's who was missing. Usual suspects: Jonathan Wilhite, Sean Springs, our friend rookie Tyrone McKenzie, who's been out with the injury since rookie minicamp, Teddy Bruschi yet again, Al Johnson for the 9th straight practice, I believe, now.
Yeah, he's been out with Seymour.
Rookie George Bussey, lineman, he's been out for a couple of practices now. Stephen Neal in the morning was out. Ryan O'Callaghan, Randy Moss, Benjamin Watson. Who's number 90?
Lee
That's
Kevin,
escaping me.
Lee Kevin Smith.
Boy, the dog days are getting to me, Paul.
That was the first practice he missed, and we did see him sort of
being tended to
by the trainers on Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning, rather. So that wasn't completely surprising. He's obviously dealing with some sort of ailment.
Myron Pryor, and last but not least, Richard Seymour, and I'm getting more and more concerned by the day about Richard Seymour's status. We've not heard word one from him since the first practice.
Yeah, that is concerning. Sean Springs a little concerning, too. He's been in and out. But I think that you know, it might be a little bit more of a conditioning thing with him.
He had the illness, reportedly.
Yeah, and we saw him practicing and looked really, really gassed one day. He he reported after that practice that he actually took the conditioning run that day and took part in practice later on.
Yeah.
So that's certainly understandable if he's been dealing with an illness and wasn't quite up to speed.
Right.
From a conditioning standpoint. But Seymour, and a lot of other guys have missed now several in a row. Will Height, O'Callaghan, Al Johnson.
Even Bruschi's missing
Bruschi, so there's some concerns there with some of those guys. Stephen Neal was in for the out for the morning, but back in for the afternoon, so that was a good sign.
As was Moss, who hardly...
Well, that's his pattern, one a day.
His thing. No changes on the list. Brandon Tate still on NFI. Rich Ohrenberger, the rookie lineman, still on a pup player, as is Mark Lavore, Daryl Richard, Ty Warren, and Sean Crable. So really no changes there. And nothing really to be concerned about, it seems, with Neal or Moss. They just seem to be, you know, having, like you said, a little bit of a veteran schedule.
Yeah, and I think that, like I said, you know, we started talking about the top. I thought the running game work this morning was pretty good. I thought, for the most part, the offense, I think the offense had a good day today in general.
Yes.
I think they followed
it
up with a really good day in the afternoon. But I thought the running game looked really good. Andy's not here now because he's being a superstar TV guy, but he was impressed. And I think that we all are very encouraged by all of these different running backs and what they might be able to bring. And and as Bill said in the press conference, they've all have a lot of production behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this has the opportunity to be, I know you wrote this in your Pulse story, Belichick's maybe best stable of backs. And I know we said that last year, but I think this year is even better.
Yeah, right.
And I think we're seeing that on the field. I think we're seeing these guys. They did a nice job today working around. Now, in fairness to the defense, a couple of defensive linemen out with Warren and Seymour, so that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are.
Sure.
I don't care what kind of credentials you come in with. There's going to be a drop-off between Richard Seymour and Ty Warren down to Mike Wright and Ron Brace and guys like that. But I
Jarvis
thought the
Green
offense
some reps.
Did a nice job this morning, and they continued out in the afternoon.
Yep, you spoke of the running game in the morning. I thought Sammy Morris stood out among the backs.
Very much so.
He benefited from some good blocking from his O-line and from his tight ends, specifically David Thomas, who pancaked rookie Pat Chung. He wants to be known as Pat.
Pat Chung.
And
we'll honor that. Always ask the players what they like to go by.
Chung didn't seem to take too kindly to that, but he's a rookie, so he had to take it. On the very next play, though, same play almost, it looked like. It looked like the defense was going to sniff it out, and Morris sniffed out that they were sniffing it out, and he made a nice cut back to the middle, scored a touchdown. Very great play on his part. Very, very much aware of his surroundings. But in the afternoon, like you mentioned, Paul, all about the passing game. A lot of two-minute and
Randy
red zone
Moss,
offense.
By the way.
Sickeningly good.
Have you ever seen a guy make one-handed catches look so effortless?
Every catch he makes is nonchalant.
But the ball doesn't move. I mean, they had a drill, just to let the listeners know, they did a drill today. They always do all these wide receiver drills where they're catching passes, square drills, and cutting in and out of cones and doing stuff. Today, they were just kind of cutting across the middle, all the receivers, and the coach would throw the ball to them, not overly hard, but just throw it to them, and they were clearly supposed to catch it with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
almost all
of them caught every one.
With the hand itself.
Ray Ventrone and Wes Welker and
Sean White
and Terrence Dunn, they all caught almost all of their passes, but not like Moss.
Mm.
Moss just reaches out. It's like he has Velcro on his hand. The ball doesn't move. He catches the point of the ball in his palm.
Right.
I just think the guy's amazing. I never stop.
And does it without breaking a sweat, like you said.
Right from the first training camp he was here in 07, I haven't stopped gushing over the guy since. And the guy's just so athletic.
It's a rare talent. 7-on-7 work a little bit. Tom Brady had a pretty good day throwing the ball in the afternoon practice. Threw a few touchdowns over, I think, rookie Darius Butler was the victim on one of them. Paris Lennon, the veteran linebacker, had a little bit of a rough day in coverage, in pass coverage, both in 7-on-7 and in the 11-on-11 work. Play of the day, though, came during a red zone drill. There was all 11 players on both sides of the ball. The defense, I believe Mayo and Guyton were the middle linebackers on that particular play. They looked like they were going to try to blitz Brady. He saw it coming, sort of backed off his quick cadence, and that sort of made the linebackers and the D-line sort of step back for a second, thinking, oh, well, he's reading us out. And as they were thinking that, slowing down, he quick-snapped the ball. Welker, who was lined up in the slot, made a little deke to the inside and then turned, did a little a corner route, was wide open on the play.
Yeah, beat Darius Butler
pretty
badly.
Lofted it right to him.
I think you're right about the description, too, Eric, is not only he recognized the blitz was coming, which we expect that from Brady, but I think what he did was he called out a protection, I'm assuming. He called out some sort of audible. But not only he did that, but when he reset his offense, he did so as the defense sort of relaxed for that second when they realized, okay, we got to get out of our look and get back into something else, and I think he caught them.
And it happened in that split
exactly.
second.
Exactly. So not only he beat the blitz, he caught what the defense was doing, but I think he caught them off guard then. It was almost like the offense went on a blitz and quick-snapped them, and it was just perfection.
And
he's also wicked handsome.
Well, yeah.
He's not a bad-looking guy now.
Kudos to the other 10 players on offense for keeping up with Brady on that. They didn't let up either when they saw that happen.
Right.
They went on the attack, too, and Welker got the touchdown. It was a beautiful play. What else stood out from today to you, Paul?
Well, you know, again, a lot of Scott O'Brien is really becoming one of my favorite coaches. Just, you know,
watching him, like the guy.
Watching him work with the special teams guys, you know, that's both in the morning, working on a lot of kickoff coverage in the afternoon. I thought it was punts, situational punts, some plus 50s maybe, some directional kicking, and also maybe picking up a heavy rush with, you know, when they bring one of the vice guys from the outside in, add a little pressure.
Try to block.
I just like the way the guy goes about his business. And, again, I say every time, I liked the way Brad Seeley went about his business as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean that as any disrespect.
They had two different styles,
to the predecessor,
though.
But different styles, yeah. You know, in terms of that, you know, other stuff, I thought Morris looked really impressive in the morning. I thought Brady was Brady in the afternoon, you know, and Moss. And, you know, I thought Galloway was a little better. Galloway, I've been a little disappointed in. I don't know how you feel about him. But I think he made a nice catch on a bomb in the afternoon in a hurry-up drill, maybe starting to get a little bit more comfortable. But I think he's sort of struggled a little bit in the offense.
He's been a little inconsistent. When he has made catches, he is somewhat Moss-like in that he's very nonchalant with it. It's almost effortless when he does it. But he's had a few drops. He's had a few times where he's gotten his feet tied up and has, you know, not been able to continue on his route.
Right.
But I'm not too concerned about him. I think once it gets to game time, I think he'll step up. But you know, he's a veteran, and it's two-a-days. I don't think many of even the veterans on this team are used to this type of training camp.
No, and I'm going to be really curious to watch how this goes during the rest of this week, because they have double sessions set up basically for the balance of the week, mm-hmm. and they're not all open to the public, but you know, definitely will be Tuesday and Wednesday double sessions as already scheduled, and then we'll see what the schedule's like ongoing. But I think Thursday is the second of which is a season ticket holder only event.
Mm-hmm.
So only the morning practice is open that day. But the team will be on the field twice a day all week, and I'm going to be curious to see how that toll is. You know, how much of a toll that takes as we move on toward the preseason opener next week.
Yeah, I think they've handled it pretty well to this point, as we said off the top. We also said off the top that this was Tom Brady's birthday. The second practice...
Should probably explain the little shenanigans.
Yeah, the second practice got off to a light start, if you'll pardon the pun, Paul. During stretching, Brady somehow had his attention distracted somehow and went to go sit down to get started stretching and realized his helmet was missing. It was comical because everyone else was sitting on the ground stretching, and he was sort of standing up looking all over the field, like asking people, where's my helmet? And Matt Light, perfectly stone-faced, you could see through the binoculars, he was the prime suspect of Brady's. Brady was pointing him out, saying, you've got my helmet, and he was sitting like, no, I don't. And it was pretty obvious that he had two helmets sitting next to him. But yeah, you got a kick out of that, didn't you? But then after stretching, the team sort of huddled up together. Belichick called them all to the middle of the field, and we couldn't hear what was said, but he was obviously smiling, and Brady was smiling. You could tell that they were sort of ribbing him about it being his 32nd birthday. The offensive linemen had some tricks up their sleeves, though. Ron Brace brought over a big jug of ice water and handed it to, we believe it was Light and maybe some of the other linemen. Meanwhile, Dan Copen had a birthday cake, which they were going to present to Brady. And they sort of, how should we say, Paul, they maybe force-fed him?
He had it everywhere. He had cake all over the place, in his hair. It took him a good 5 minutes to towel it all off of him and get back in the and rejoin the rest of the quarterbacks for the drills, to go over the individual drills before practice.
So they pie him in the face. He keels over, and as he does that, they throw the ice water all over him. It was a happy 32nd birthday
for
Tom Brady.
I'm also wicked handsome.
Yeah, you've said that already, Tom. But that concludes this podcast. That concludes day 5 of training camp. 10 practices down. Umpteen to go, it seems like.
We're out of gas.
But we're gonna be there for you every day for as long as the Pats are in training camp. And, hey, Paul, 10 days from now, kicking it off.
We'll be in,
first preseason
in
game in Philly. Looking forward to it. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.